Hello, Eleanor. I'm very pleased to be here in your home, and we're going to do an interview with you, and Ethel is going to be our technician here to make sure the recording comes through. So it's very nice to be here with you and talk to you about your nursing career. So, and we'd like to start right at the beginning, if we may, and we'll get you to tell us a little bit about your childhood. Everybody's always interested in your childhood and your background, what brought you to nursing.
Well, I never thought my childhood was particularly interesting until I got older and I realized no one else had had quite the same childhood. It wasn't ordinary. I was born in Denmark post-war, and my mother was Danish. My dad was from the Faroe Islands. Mom had been a Canadian. Well, I shouldn't say she had been a Canadian. She hadn't been a Canadian citizen, but she lived in Canada for quite a few years. She came over in 1932 with her parents and then went to high school in New Brunswick, served in the Royal Canadian Air Force during the war, and then met and married my dad in St. John. And after the war, he was sailing with the British Merchant Navy, and that's a bit complicated because he was part of the Danish Merchant Navy, but they were occupied by Germany, so when they found out that they were occupied, they went to England. They happened to be out of port at the time, and they sailed to England and sailed under the British flag. So they got married during the war and then didn't see each other again for about 2.5 years. Mm. But they were reunited in Denmark, and Dad had been married before, lost his wife, had a couple of children who were being raised by his sister. So he had an apartment there, and my mom came to that, and then eventually I came along. So there I was with my aunt and my dad and mom and my siblings. After a year or so, Dad was still looking for permanent work after the war. It was difficult. And I don't know if you know that, but yeah, job sure situation was not good. Yeah. So we went back to the Faroes where his family was. And his children were in school in Denmark, and they decided to stay. But they visited us every holiday, every chance they could. So we were very close. And then my dad's family on the Faroes, he had other siblings there, including a sister who was the district nurse.
Oh, really?
So that was another one of my aunts. And she had such an interesting little practice in that village. I think there were, about 700 people in the village or something.
Yeah.
And she would have them come to her house, and if they needed their bandages changed or they needed a shot or whatever, she would look after them. And then I was frequently being babysat by her, or visiting. So I would be sitting there watching all this, and I thought, this is a job. This looks like fun. You know, it kind of appealed to me. So I think then and there I decided I wanted to be a public health nurse, although I didn't know what it was called. I had no idea. So that was my goal, was eventually
what
to do that.
What a wonderful role model.
I know. She was, and she was just part of the community.
Yeah.
And then one of her daughters also became a nurse. My half-sister became a nurse.
Mm.
My mom's dad, one of his many careers was as a nurse.
Really?
And I'm trying to think who else. It seems to me there have been others, but certainly quite a few in the family. My great-aunt I was telling you about earlier was also a nurse.
That's amazing.
On my mom's side. Yeah, so we stayed there for 5 years, and Dad's job situation really didn't improve much. So since my grandparents had moved from St. John, New Brunswick to Vancouver, we chose to emigrate, and that's what happened. We came to Vancouver.
That's what brought you to Vancouver?
And that's what brought me here. And my sister and brother stayed behind with their aunt, who to them was their mom, really. They had been so small when their own mom died, and they were raised by her. So we've always remained close, but they stayed behind because they were 18 and 16 or something at the time, and they were into their education. They knew what they wanted to do. So that was that.
Well, good. And so but how old were you?
I was six.
You were six. Oh,
yeah.
So you were young, and then you start school.
I started school instantly. We came, mm-hmm. we flew to Montreal. We sailed to Iceland, in the North Atlantic in October. It was quite stormy. Then we flew from Iceland on BOAC to Montreal, stopping in Goose Bay to refuel. And then we took the train from Montreal to Vancouver. So we were, I had no idea that in 1952, it's almost 60 years ago, flying the North Atlantic was a fairly new thing.
Mm-hmm.
I didn't know that. I mean, after all, I was only six.
Yeah.
But I do remember the trip, and I remember my mom pointing out and saying, oh, that's Greenland down there. Those are glaciers or whatever.
Amazing.
And we were, of course, in a four-propeller plane. It wasn't a jet.
Mm-hmm.
So we were lower, and it took a long time. It took about 10 hours. So it was a long trip. And then the day we landed in Vancouver on the CPR was Halloween.
Really?
And I had never experienced Halloween. We had the equivalent of Mardi Gras. We would celebrate just before Lent, but not Halloween. So my grandmother was quite the social person, and she was really into games and things like that. So we were staying with them. And she had kids coming to the door who were dressed up as ghosts and criminals, and I don't know what else.
What an experience for a six-year-old.
Yeah, and I was a bit scared, but she was very insistent. Okay, I want you to sing for me. You've got to do something. You know, she's one of those people. There had to be a trick, not just the treat. Yeah.
Well, that's
so, or whatever, a performance before the treat. So we were in Vancouver for a few months till the spring, and then Dad got a job in Princeton. So we lived in Princeton for a year. He was an engineer. He was actually, had his first class papers in Denmark, but because of the language, he wasn't ever able to become fluent enough to get good enough marks on the written exam.
Mm-hmm.
Practical exam, he always aced it.
Yeah.
But he worked for a lumber mill and worked as the engineer. And then eventually he got a job in Vancouver, and he had a couple of different jobs, but we moved to Burnaby after a year in Princeton, and then after that he was steadily employed. He ended up in a Chinese laundry as their engineer.
Oh, he did.
And did that for many years. So he was always a good provider, but it wasn't the level that he was used to from the past. But that's the way.
Well, certainly changed his life, didn't
it? Yeah, and with my mom, well, she was fluent in English, of course, but she would take jobs. She had high school education, but she worked at the Bay and the Boys' Wear, and early when we first arrived, she worked as a chambermaid in a hotel. So she took what she could get to supplement the income. And then when I was at university, and my brother, who's a couple of years younger, was at university, we had the pleasure of having Mom go back to school.
Really? Good for her.
So she studied to be a preschool teacher. She went to Vancouver College, and or what was the equivalent of it at the time, and got her early childhood education.
Isn't that wonderful?
And I think she even took some courses at UBC, and she did really well, excellent marks.
Well,
so she had a career.
Yeah, that's
as well,
story.
Eventually.
Yeah. Question down for now. Okay, we're just going to check.
Those who were going to be future nurses, because they were all hoping to head for the hospital program.
Mm-hmm.
And I still wasn't quite sure where I was going. I wanted to go to university. And I thought, well, it's going to be nursing if I can. It was my mom who investigated and found there was a nursing school at UBC. Or it's going to be something else. And UBC was the only university around.
Mm-hmm.
So we had no money to go anywhere else. I couldn't have been sent away, or we couldn't afford that. I had to live at home.
Right.
So I graduated from high school and decided that that was where I was headed, was UBC, and hoping I would be accepted in the School of Nursing. I had skipped a grade back in grade five, so I was 16 when I graduated from high school, turned 17 just before, the week before I started university.
Oh, my gosh.
I remember crying my first week out there because I was homesick.
Yeah.
And I was coming home every night. I was commuting. But It was
Did you live at home?
I lived at home. I cried for at least the first day or two, I think. I'm so far away. I was in a carpool with friends. So I had a group of five or six girls who had all gone to high school together, and we all knew each other. Most of them were in education. Mm-hmm. My one friend was in pharmacy, or eventually in pharmacy, and I was the one heading for nursing. But the first year at university, my marks really dropped. I think that was quite common in those years. I had been a very good student in high school and found it was quite a shock to go to university, especially when I didn't live on campus. I didn't study out there. I had to do it on my own in Burnaby. It wasn't for a couple of years that SFU was built. So mm-hmm. I did study up at SFU once it was open. But I was accepted at the School of Nursing, and it was Evelyn Mallory who interviewed me. Mm-hmm. She was a little dubious about my age because I was just going to be 18 before I started. But I was quite determined, and I seemed to have persuaded her, so fine.
And how did you enjoy the course?
Well, the first year was all on campus, and then we had our one day every month or something we had in the hospital. It was limited. We had a morning in the hospital mm-hmm. through that first year periodically, and we were giving bed baths and learning how to make beds and that kind of thing. I enjoyed it, but it was busy. I was up at, I guess those mornings, up at 5:30 or something to get the connection into Vancouver to the hospital, and then carpooling out to the university, picking up my other carpool to go home again. It was busy.
Yeah.
And the funny thing was that my mom, none of us drove. My father never had a driver's license. We didn't have a car. We did everything by bus. So I said to mom, okay, in May, I'm starting full time at the hospital for 9 weeks or whatever the period was. I said, mom, you have to have a car and a driver's license by the beginning of May.
Because you couldn't, you were...
I didn't have time to learn.
No. And I don't know what the age limit was then.
It was 16. Yeah, so I could have, but yeah. I didn't have any opportunity.
What hospital were you having?
St. Paul's, to start with. And my uncle, my mom's younger brother, who lived here, had a car wrecking business. He collected wrecks and then refurbished them and sold them or sold parts to dealers and so on. So he was very, very mechanically inclined, and he fixed up a beautiful 57 Chev for us and sold it to mom at a good price, I guess. And then she took driver's license lessons and got her license. And she was able to drive me into St. Paul's early in the morning by the first of May.
She's had lots of spunk. Yeah.
Indeed. And then that summer, my brother had just turned 16, I think, because it was that summer, I'm sure. I was turning 19, and he and I took lessons. We took lessons for 2 weeks from the same instructor mom had had, and we got our license in 2 weeks. I don't think that's legally possible nowadays.
No, very different.
But we did nothing but drive for 2 weeks. We took our lessons every day, and mom took us out driving every day. So that was all we did for 2 weeks. And then we took our...
Well, if you wanted to be a public health nurse, you had to be able to drive.
I had to, yeah. So anyway, we got our...
Did you you didn't take a specialty in public health, or how was the course set up?
The course was set up where we had courses in public health nursing. That was more in the fourth year, and the same with administration and teaching.
Yeah.
So we had those three options,
okay. And
all of us were equally qualified.
Yeah.
It was just a matter of where your interest lay.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And what year did you graduate?
1968.
So 68 you graduated. Yeah.
Right.
And then we'll just follow your career up until the time that you actually went into the... Oh, so we'll cut it. The phone's ringing.
Oh, I know.
It could I don't know who it is.
Okay, well, just wait.
Yeah, on. Both very interesting.
Good.
I definitely feel like
we're good. We're good. Okay, so tell us about your career after you graduated.
My first job, I really wanted some basic experience. I felt that even if I were going out to the community as a public health nurse, I wanted to work in the hospital, get some basic experience. And I love children, so I wanted to work in pediatrics. And luckily, Royal Columbian Hospital hired me, sort of against their better judgment, because they had to pay me more. And that was a problem in those days. If you had a degree, well, why aren't you teaching? Or why aren't you heading for higher administration or something? And I said, I just want basic experience.
Yeah. Good.
So I had a classmate who was actually working at in the School of Nursing at Royal Columbian the same time that I was on the floor. So we would run into each other quite frequently. It was kind of fun. But she had chosen to go straight into the teaching end of it. So I had a fascinating year at the Columbian in the old 1914 wing, which is long since gone. It was condemned by the fire department, and they kept coming in and giving us fire drills. And then the isolation ward, which was for infectious diseases. And we had a lot of people from the BC Penn, which was right across the street.
Right.
And they would have hepatitis mostly.
Really?
And sailors off the ships from the docks, they would also be ill with often hepatitis.
Mm.
So, and a lot of children with gastroenteritis. So it was quite a mixed bag. But you were locked into that ward at night, and you only had the supervisor visiting you a couple of times during the shift. So you'd be pretty much alone with 14 people in locked or in closed quarters.
Yeah.
So that was something that I guess they have nowadays, but it's a little different. From there, I was planning to stay a little longer, but I had a phone call from, I think it must have been Betty Costin who phoned me and said, would I be interested in a job working with UBC in the family practice unit? I could go for an interview with Dr. Clyde Slade. So Betty had been my public health nursing professor at UBC, and she knew where my interests were. And so two of us, Pat McKay Ohashi and I, were interviewed, and they were only going to choose one, but I think Dr. Slade fell for both of us, so he decided to hire us both. So we worked there, pardon me, with the idea that we were supposed to be the pioneers of a nurse practitioner role. And it never quite amounted to what we had hoped, but it was still a really, really good experience. We worked with these four older doctors who were all old enough to be our fathers. And perhaps that was part of the problem, because you get the father-daughter sort of interaction. And that was always the nurse-doctor interaction as well.
And they were the ones that had initiated it. Huh?
Yes.
It was
their. And the students we had were a mixture of medical students, and we also had other students from other related medical fields, I think, coming through, not nearly as frequently as the medical students. But we had a physiotherapist, a dietitian, a nutritionist, and trying to think who else, social worker, and we all tried to work together as a team. So we would have weekly meetings where all of us would sit and give our input on the different families we were working with. And they were, it was good, because you got to hear the perspective of the doctor who had been dealing with the family, or the physio, or the social worker. We made home visits, sometimes alone, sometimes with one of the doctors. We were able to follow patients through from the beginning of an illness or a situation right through to the end. It could be a pregnancy, it could be something else. But it was a wonderful follow through, and I really appreciated that.
Now, where was your district, Eleanor? Like you talked about the office.
Okay, the office at that time was at Vancouver General Hospital.
Okay.
So it was in one of the. It was in what used to be the women's residence. It was a low level building. I think it had two stories. On 10th and Heather.
Mm-hmm.
It's not there anymore.
Yeah.
But we were within walking distance of the hospital. And then our district was whoever our patients were. And our patients came from from the doctors who were working in the clinic. Some of them brought some of their patients to the clinic if they were interested.
Mm-hmm.
Others came from faculty at UBC. We had some faculty members who were patients. Others in the neighborhood. We had some First Nations people who might have lived in the community.
Did you use students?
Yes, I had my own car, and I was paid mileage for that.
Mm-hmm.
Parking was always a problem.
Yes. Yeah.
But, yes. So I visited sometimes in the East Vancouver neighborhood where we were, or barely west of East, sometimes in the downtown area, some of those beautiful older apartments or even houses, Spanish Banks and Jericho out that way, some of the homes out there. Yeah, I really was all over.
Just amazing.
So it was just whoever the patients were.
Right.
But I saw some very beautiful homes and some very difficult places.
Yeah.
Even the downtown, I'm trying to think if we were in the downtown east side, but something similar to that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You know, the thing that is so amazing, that it was so insightful, because this was 1970.
It was, yeah, 69 I started
69.
Working. My first job was 68 to 69.
And they were looking at primary care and you know, the community outreach, you know, with the primary
care. With the nurse, yeah.
Yeah, it was so insightful. It was driven by the
doctors, yes.
Yeah.
Now, Clyde Slade was a psychiatrist and an internal medicine specialist, so that was his forte. The other three were GPs who had all come from other general practices. Dr. Bogie is still living. He lives in Tawasin, I think, or White Rock.
Yes, he does.
And,
I met him, actually.
Okay, say hi to him.
Yes, I will.
And he was up in Vernon and had a very busy practice up there. Bob Wilson and Jack Blanchard, I believe, were in the Vancouver area, and they had busy practices there.
Mm-hmm.
So, again, they were able to bring some of their people in. But we were allowed to do some examining to a point. We learned how to check eyes and ears.
Did you do physical assessment? Did you
A little bit, yeah, we did. We listened to lungs and looked down throats and
mm-hmm.
checked blood pressure. We did some vaginal exams, but then again, that got to be a little bit tricky if there was an infection or something, because then you wanted the doctor's double okay if there was a need for a prescription. And, of course, we couldn't write prescriptions. So, so there were some limitations there. But it was pretty neat because they would let us do They encouraged us to do as much as we felt we were confident in doing, and then they would let us go ahead.
Yeah, I was just amazed when I read the role of the nurse, because the Lalonde report came out, 75-76, calling for primary care. I mean, you were way ahead of the game.
We were, yeah.
You were way ahead of the game, but you know, did it peter out or what happened?
Well, what happened was. In early 72, I left because their grant money was running out. They didn't have enough.
No.
And so Pat stayed on, and I'm not sure how long she stayed on, but they hired Heather, I think her name was Heather McRae, or what was her last name? I've forgotten now. But she had a master's degree,
mm-hmm.
which was a little bit more than what we had, and they felt she would be more of an equal with the doctors. And she stayed for quite a long time, I think.
She did.
Yeah. And there was also another clinic out at UBC with Joan Anderson,
Oh, right. Yeah.
So she was working out there.
Oh, okay. So there was
a similar clinic, yeah.
Okay.
And I can't remember if they were before us or after us or at the same time.
Okay.
But, yeah.
Well, one of the articles mentioned that you did a nursing diagnosis, you know, using the Florida model, or you were using a model of
And I don't remember exactly what it was, but we had pages and pages of questions we would ask the client,
yeah.
And then we would try and do a diagnosis from there.
Yeah.
Yes, it was
yeah.
very good. And we took our own blood work. We did our own
yeah.
blood work
yeah.
and sent it off to the lab. But we learned how to do venae punctures. Became quite
yeah.
adept at it.
Well, to me it was...
and tonometry for the, for the ocular tests.
Yeah, yeah. And it really was the foundation of what we call the nurse practitioner's role
yeah.
today. And, but it's taken us an awfully long time
to get there.
Really
I think
was.
Ontario had something going. I think they had, I've heard of something, and probably in the U.S. there might have been.
Well, Ontario
something.
Did. I was teaching at the University of Ottawa,
yeah.
and they had a course at Hamilton. But it petered out, too.
It petered out, okay.
Because the nurse practitioners could not get
jobs. Yeah. And I know now a friend of mine has the degree in the Master of Nursing in Nurse Practitioner, but I don't know what she's doing. And I understand that some of them are having trouble finding jobs even here.
Yes, yeah.
You know.
Yeah, but we still, you know, haven't evolved to the
no.
point where we have true primary care with the nurses.
And yet I said to her, if you hung up your shingle, I would come to you.
Yes.
Because I know that you're competent
yeah.
and I trust your expertise and your judgment. Yeah.
Because you've had the experience.
I've been
of
there, yeah.
Yes. Yeah. What, one thing that was mentioned was the fact that you were a training ground for the medical students.
Yes.
Tell us about that.
Well, they would come in and practice their diagnostic skills on the patients, and sometimes it was quite humorous. They would be sort of trying to show how macho they were. They were mostly guys at the time. And then at the same time, they would corner us and pull us aside somewhere. How do you do such and such? Well, what am I supposed to say now, you know? So we were supportive of them. But we had a couple that I still see periodically.
Yeah.
One of them lives not too far from here, and I pass his house if I go for a walk.
Oh, for
and he'll say hi, and we'll reminisce a bit. They've turned out to be great doctors.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. To me, that would be a wonderful experience for them. Because tell us about the tutorials. Like,
well, each was conceived in my own family practitioner. Actually went through the system too. I didn't
he
know
did.
Him at the time, but
he did. Oh, for heaven's sake.
tell you about
the tutorials. Like, I mean, you would have these tutorials. It would be based on a patient, would it? Or
these meetings
yes.
we would have on a Monday morning. It would be first thing Monday morning, and we would have a group meeting, and it would be what were our concerns. Was there anything that had really stumped us that week or that we were really worried about or we'd like a little extra help with. But the thing is that most of the time we were able to go to each other very quickly. We were all in the same building within a room or two of each other. And if we had a question during the week, we were asking it anyway.
Yeah, right.
But this was a learning situation for the whole group.
Yeah.
One person might say, well, I had an interesting case this week and the two of us worked together on it, but we'd like to share it with the group. And this is what happened.
Yeah.
Yeah. So
you have to think about the quality of nursing care or patient care.
Exactly.
I mean,
yeah.
For you, it must have been so invigorating to know the patients were getting that kind of care.
I know. I have had my mom in nursing care homes over the last years. She died 6 years ago, but things have changed so much that it's so discouraging.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. And yet, you know, I mean, you've seen this type of...
I know the ideal.
Yeah.
I know the ideal.
Yeah.
I know what can
yeah.
be done.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. And do you have any thoughts now on for the nurse practitioners? They are being prepared at the master's level. They are trying to work themselves into these roles.
They're in different roles. I know one of them was probably going to go back to the care facility where I ran into her again. She was an old acquaintance. So I don't know if that's what she's done. She was kind of a clinical specialist there, so I have no idea if that's where she went back to and was doing a more expanded role.
You know, would be wonderful if you could take your experience, you know, and compare it, you know, to one of the graduates of the nurse practitioner program today.
Yeah.
And just that would make a very fascinating study for someone to do.
It probably would.
Yeah.
And I'm thinking you should probably try to interview my colleague as well. I haven't been in touch with her, but she lives in West Vancouver, so she might have some ideas too.
Is that right? Well, you know, yeah. It's been just so fascinating to hear about this, to realize that you were so far ahead of the game in your practice with this health unit. Now, and I know that you moved from this particular...
Into period, public health. Provincial public health.
You did, eh? And tell us a bit about that.
Well, I found out that the job was phasing out and
you know, and some more interviews of you people and that era compared to today.
It would.
And were you involved in any of the classes that were held? Brought together medical students and nursing students.
No, I don't know.
That
wasn't.
Was another thing that
was
happened
another,
in the
they tried.
Early 70s. Yes,
yeah,
right.
To bring them together
yeah.
to work
yeah.
as teams.
Not to recruit.
Yeah,
was
yeah. He was an incredible.
It was in the article.
Yeah.
But perhaps you weren't involved in that.
No,
yeah.
I wasn't.
To me,
yeah.
he was so insightful, and he was the dean. But then you were working with two other doctors, probably.
Three.
I met him
certainly. Yeah, I mean, there were people from the faculty coming in all the time for visits. So they would have little chit chats, or they'd come in for coffee.
Yeah, I'm sure.
Dr. McKenzie, CJJ McKenzie, he was favorite.
He was a
But there were many others.
I know, but they were just so open to you know to working in a team and finding enough care. But somehow we lost our way, you know.
Yeah.
It was so sad.
Yeah. Well, I went on to public health. I went out to Maple Ridge.
Are we going?
Yeah, we're going now.
Yeah.
Oh, I'm sorry.
It's okay.
All right. I shouldn't be talking.
No, it was quite amusing because I went over to see Dorothy because she was in charge of public health for the province. And I just said to her, well, I'm losing my job, but I'm interested in provincial health. Rather than, I guess I applied for city health as well. And I was interviewed a couple of places locally, but the first people to offer me a job were the provincial health. She just basically said to me, where do you want to go?
She did.
She said, we've got openings here, 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 and here. And I said, well, I'd like to go to Maple Ridge then. So that's where I went because I could still commute from Burnaby.
Right.
And so I was there for 9 years and just loved it. Yeah.
Is that right? You had your children by now, did you?
No, I wasn't even married. Well, I got married while I was working out there.
Oh, okay.
And then I was pregnant with my first child when I stopped working.
Okay.
I quit just before she was born, and then I left it open that I could go back, but I never did go back because our children were both terribly colicky. They were just awful.
But when you were in Maple Ridge now, was it quite rural at that time?
At that time it was. We were still in uniform, so we were still wearing our blues.
Yeah.
And during that time we switched to cities. But it was quite rural. I didn't have the rural area. I had the city, which was okay. I enjoyed that too. But whenever someone was away and they had a new baby to visit, you would go and cover for them. And you could spend a whole afternoon just on one visit because it would be quite a distance to drive and then your visit and then you'd come back. And that was your afternoon. But I loved public health because I could set my own schedule. I knew what needed to be done. Oh, I guess I wrote that down too. And when it needed to be done, what time frame, but I could plan it.
Yeah.
School immunizations, school vision and hearing tests, which we were still doing at that time, and baby visits and so on, prenatal class, teaching. We did everything. And when I first started, we even did the enemas, the blood pressures, the dressings, all
the
that kind
care.
Of, all the nursing care stuff was still ours.
Yeah.
So I came to public health at the right moment because I got to see everything.
Yeah.
And then it was gradually taken away. And now, of course, it's so different from what it used to be.
Yeah.
I volunteered locally after the children were born and got to know many of the local nurses and got to see how things got shortened and abbreviated.
Oh, yeah. And the role changed.
And the role changed and the computer came in.
Oh, yes. Yeah.
And, of course, I never dealt with a computer at work.
Yeah.
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 But, no, I loved my job. I enjoyed it very much.
Good. And so that your public health career, and then after the children were born, you didn't...
I never went back.
Yeah.
No.
Yeah.
Eventually, my dad was ill. He died of ALS when the children were very small. And then my second daughter, the one who's the marathon runner, developed chronic fatigue syndrome. She was only 10.
Mm.
And she was very ill for about a year or so. And it took quite a while to get her diagnosed, to figure out what it was. And then we went to Children's and got somebody there who helped her get back to functioning. And here she is now with a doctorate and a marathon with 6 marathons under her belt.
That's amazing.
And so we're just so, so thankful.
Yeah.
But I had to be here for her.
Yeah,
and she has frequently said, Mom, if you hadn't been around, what would have happened to me?
Yeah.
And then my mom needed care. She had severe arthritis. So I was here for her as well.
Right. Yeah.
Yeah. So
you continued nursing.
I was still nursing.
You were still nursing, and you probably still are nursing.
Probably. Yeah.
Well, thank you so much for sharing with us, Eleanor. This is a very important story, and it's wonderful to get it down and get it recorded so that that will be available for future researchers. So.
Well, knowing what it's like to have somebody in grad school, I understand the value.
Yeah.
Yeah. And I hope it is of some help.
Thank
it's been
you.
Nice meeting you, Sheila.
It's lovely to meet you, Ethel.
And Ethel.